Thank you, Rob Martyr. It's Down Low here, 720 WGN. Justin Kaufman with you till 11 o'clock. Coming up here, we'll talk with Ted Leo, the iconic indie rocker from Ted Leo and the Pharmacist, my guest at the big table. Excited about that. But first, let's talk Springfield veto session underway. Some fireworks today, some victories and some losses. I guess should be some nail biters and some landslides. Mike Fouché from the Daily Line joins us as he does every Wednesday. Tonight, he is in Springfield for the veto session. We'll talk Springfield and also what's happening with the Cook County budget. Mike, good to have you.
Woo, Springfield. Yeah.
There you go.
I'm here. The best.
All right, so let's get right to it. We've been reporting on it all afternoon, but there seems, it is nail biters and landslides. First, let's talk with the nail biter. The Democrats put together a bill that essentially would make it illegal for right-to-work zones where people could have union jobs but not play union membership. The governor vetoed it. There was thought that they could get that the override done, and they came one vote short of doing so. Talk about this. Is this a victory for Governor Rauner, or is this a way to reset and start all over?
It's really none of those, truthfully. I think the measure could have actually gotten the votes to pass, except that it had a really interesting aspect to it, which was that if a municipality were to create a right-to-work zone, then the officials of that municipality would be charged with a misdemeanor. They would essentially be criminalized.
Wow.
And so that really, really upset a lot of Republicans who really didn't like the idea that, as one member said, that you'd be criminalizing municipal officials for doing their job. So that really held them up from that crucial 71. They stopped at 70 votes. They couldn't get it all together. But truthfully, this really doesn't mean all that much for Rauner, because he had tried. He had this idea of enterprise zones, right-to-work areas, and only one municipality actually did it. I think it was Hoffman Estates, and then it was struck down by a court. So nobody's done this. Nobody's going to be doing it. It was, in a lot of ways, a demonstration
symbolic, right?
of power. Yeah, it was very symbolic. Rauner, put a lot of energy into it, mostly because he really, really seems to dislike the unions and doesn't think that unions are good for business or for government.
And there is a Supreme Court case that deals with this exact thing that will be decided at some point in this session that looks at the idea of union membership or someone having a union job without having to pay dues. This is an issue, an ideological issue that
right.
has been on the table, not just in Illinois, but it will be represented by an Illinois constituent.
And that actually, I think, applies to government worker unions. And yes, it seems very likely that the U.S. Supreme Court would decide in favor of not forcing workers to have to pay worker or union dues unless right. they choose to. And that would be incredibly debilitating. We've been writing and investigating that, and a lot of unions in Illinois are very, very concerned about that. Firefighters, police officers, regular worker, government worker unions. I think that would be a big deal.
Hmm. The other issue, which was the landslide, is Susana Mendoza's debt Transparency Act. This is interesting because this was something that essentially the comptroller said, hey, listen, the public needs to know about all the bills that we have in backlog. There are so many. And the governor and the state, I guess, in some cases, and different agencies are like, well, you don't need to see that bill, or I don't need to show
right.
you this or that or the other. And they put together this Debt Transparency Act, and the governor vetoed the act, and it went back
right.
to the House, and what seems to be somewhat of a shock, a unanimous override.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. Essentially, this is a power struggle between Bruce Rauner and Susana Mendoza, who is a Democrat, and Rauner, of course, is a Republican. Rauner liked the idea of being able to squirrel away, bills in various parts of government and then be able to spring them up. And by squirreling away various bills, he can essentially make Mendoza pay for one thing or another by being strategic about it. This way, the Debt Transparency Act basically makes every single agency have to report regularly exactly what all of their bills are that they've incurred so that Mendoza can know what it is that has to be paid. The comptroller's responsibility is making sure that the bills are paid. And so they have to judge what the cash flow is and figure out what has to go out.
And it also, Mike, I mean, the big thing as well is it also paints a more realistic picture of where we are, yes, as a state when it comes to our debt.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And there's always been, you know, a question, well, do we owe another $1 billion more? I mean, you know, maybe, you know, it's always impossible to know. Mendoza produces these regular reports, and, you know, without actually knowing that specific amount of money, it's been difficult to know how deep a hole Illinois is actually in. So what's interesting is that this originally passed the House, I think, with 60-something votes the first time around, and now this time it passed 115-0, which means that every single person that was present voted for it. And that was remarkable. I don't think anybody expected it to be that high of a number. There was a lot of expectations that it was going to pass, but with that big of a number. And really, the only way that that happens is if large numbers of Republicans decide, you know what, forget the governor. And we don't really have a whole lot of confidence in the way that he's necessarily managing government. And I think that's actually the case with a lot of Republicans.
Wow.
They're not confident that the governor is managing government well. And this is a statement, you know, to tell him, sorry, man, you know, you still have to do things that we tell you to do because we're the legislature. And, you know, there's a lot of tension there because Bruce Rauner really, really rules the roost when it comes to the Republican Party. Almost all of the fundraising goes through Bruce Rauner one way or another. So, you know, all the Republican legislators are very much captured by Bruce Rauner.
And the other political part to this is, when is this going to affect? Because we're entering or already into an election season, and if the bills are released and they have to be with this Transparency Act, and it shows that the state of Illinois is in more debt and the governor was covering it up, that's not a good campaign. That's not good for,
yeah,
the campaign for reelection.
It's going to be effective immediately. It still needs to pass the Senate. But, you know, the Senate, which is not going to be meeting for another 2 weeks, but it's very likely, highly likely, that the Senate is going to pass and vote on it. So, you know, I don't think this is going to be a real issue.
Let's take a quick break. Mike Fouché, the Daily Line, joins us every Wednesday. He is in Springfield. Let's do this. I want to ask you, I got a couple more questions about Springfield, but I want to get to the break, and then we'll talk. We'll finish up with the Cook County budget as they start to work at revenue now that the sweetened beverage tax is no longer. Mike Fouché joins us. We'll take a quick break. Stay with us. Mike Fouché on the line here in 720 WGN. He's in Springfield. We're talking about the veto session and what's happening with the Cook County budget tonight. Mike, of course, with the Daily Line, thedailyline.net. He joins us every Wednesday. All right, Mike, I'm interested, before we move to Cook County budget, yesterday out of committee, essentially a gun law came out, which was reported on, the idea that at first it looked like it was going to be Illinois' attempt to ban bump stocks after the Las Vegas shooting, but it goes further than that. There's capacity or magazine capacities. There's assault weaponry. The Illinois State Rifle Association came out and said, no, this is way too broad. But the Democrats are going ahead with it. Where is that at? Because it was thought that the House might vote on that, and it seems like it's something, since there is a Democrat majority, that could find its way to Governor Rauner's desk.
So there were a number of technical issues with the bill, and I actually caught up with Representative Marty Moylan, who's from Des Plaines, a Democrat from Des Plaines, at the end of the day, and I asked him, you know, where's this going? What are we going to hear about this anytime soon? And what he told me this evening was that he's waiting on the updated language in order to fix the bill. And as soon as he has that, he's going to bring it to the floor and, you know, introduce a floor amendment and try and pass it in the House. The House is meeting tomorrow at 10:30. And the expectation is the House doesn't really want to meet for very long because a lot of members want to go back home. So I would expect that we'll be seeing it sometime tomorrow before lunch.
Mm, interesting to watch.
And the House will probably vote on it.
And if they vote on it, it gets passed, it gets to the Senate, and goes to Rauner. And like I said, we were talking about it yesterday. I mean, that is a that's a hot potato for the governor. So it'll be interesting to see what he does, especially in light of what he did with abortion, things of that nature.
It's going to be a couple weeks before the Senate addresses it because the Senate is not meeting tomorrow.
Right.
Right. They took off. That's exactly right.
Well, they did. I mean, come on. Well, we got nothing to do. So, all right. That's my pet peeve, the idea that they do that all the time. We'll move on. Cook County budget. This is very interesting. 10% cuts across the board. That's what Commissioner John Daly had said to deal with the fact that sweetened beverage tax is coming off the books. Sheriff Dart, the state's attorney, Kim Fox, others saying, nah, I can't comply. Where are we with that? Because you guys did a great breakdown in all the different agencies and areas that have already complied, but there are some holdouts, and Sheriff Dart seems to be the big one.
Sheriff Dart is the big one. You know, the jail population has reduced a lot. It used to be an average of about 10,000. Now it's down to about 7,500. And so there's a lot of questions coming from the Cook County Board. Well, how come your budget has essentially stayed the same? How come your budget hasn't gone down over the last 5 years like your jail population has? And one thing a lot of people don't know is that the jail has been under a federal consent decree, much like the one that we're talking about with the Chicago Police Department, because of the way that it was managed. And the consent decree was only very recently begun to be lifted because they've had so much progress in the management of the jail. Dart argues, look, if we start cutting the number of staff that we have, the number of officers that are working in the jail, that means that we're going to really start risking having another consent decree, and that's just going to end up costing us a lot of money again anyway. And then the other thing that he says is, well, the reason why we have so fewer people in the jail is a lot of those people are now being monitored at home with ankle bracelets and that sort of thing. And so we need to have officers whose job it is to monitor those people.
Right, right.
It's less expensive than having them in the jail, but we still need to have people whose job it is to make sure that they don't, you know, run away to Iowa or
something like that. Well, I mean, what are the big ideas? I mean, we're talking about closing some suburban courthouses. There's talk about the Cook
That's
County
the
Forest
big
Preserve officials. Like, what are the big ideas to get this budget in check?
You know, one big idea is to cut the Forest Preserve District Police, which, you know, is not very large. Maybe that'll give you some savings. But, you know, the bigger dollar amount, you know, that'll give you tens of millions of dollars a year is to cut one of the suburban courthouses, like the one in Skokie or the one in Markham or the one in Maywood. There's three of them. And, you know, everybody's, oh, that's great. Found money. We can close one. And then it gets down to, all right, which one are we going to close? And then that becomes a whole nother kettle of fish.
Yeah.
And the other thing is that nobody's really asked Chief Judge Tim Evans what he thinks about that. And there's a pretty high likelihood that Judge Evans will not like that idea, because if you close one of these courthouses, that means that workload needs to go somewhere else.
Right.
And so it's not like the cases are going to disappear. It's not like these people are sitting around doing nothing.
It's going to be a headache,
So, you know, that's going to be a pretty significant change.
Mike Fouché, he, of course, runs the dailyline.net and joins us every Wednesday here on The Download to talk Springfield, Cook County, and Chicago politics. We didn't even get to the Chicago stuff. We'll do that next week. Mike, great to talk to you. Travel back safe.
Thanks a lot.